Welcome to the Renaissance episode 134, Ray. Guess what this is, Ray?
What? Tell me.
This week is the one-year anniversary of when we started talking about Leonardo da Vinci on this show.
I sadly am not surprised, and maybe a little surprised or sad because we still have a ways to go because the guy was a motherfucking genius.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Like, what the hell, man? How have we managed to... Well, like our first episode on Leonardo was episode 108, 17th of November. Today's the 11th of November. So in the next week anyway, it'll be one year since we did our first show on Leonardo da Vinci. So 108, we're now doing 134. Mm-hmm. So 26 episodes we've done on Leonardo da Vinci. And someone on Facebook said, I think it might have been Royce or someone said, or Ryan, someone said it's Riley, Alexander, somebody. Anyway, somebody beginning with an R said it's Leo is the new Yalta. Yeah, but the difference is Yalta conference only lasted like 2 weeks. We did 27 episodes on it. At least Leonardo had a good run. We're only halfway through his life. Oh, does that mean we're going to be doing Leonardo for another year? Could this be like a 2 year?
Oh my god! Story arc.
I knew Leonardo was going to be big, but I thought it would be like 3 months, 4 months.
Would it be fair to say that the things that we've covered about his life so far, I did not know half of them. Yeah, I knew he was smart and he did notebooks and painting and shit, but I had no idea because how many times have we said, oh, and by the way, he founded the idea of this or the concept of this or the science of this. I mean, and we've still got shit to do and this is just who he is. And so it takes a while.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Look, I don't know how people at home are playing along, but for me, and let's be honest, this show, like all of the shows, is all about me. I'm fascinated. My mind is blown by what I'm learning about Leonardo. Chrissy's, I mean, if the audience is anything like Chrissy, they're like completely sick of me talking about Leonardo. I go, hey, guess what Leonardo did? She's like, oh, fucking hell. Before I started the show, she loved Leonardo da Vinci. Wishes he'd never lived. If she had a TARDIS, she'd go back in time and kill Leonardo da Vinci. Just so I wouldn't talk about him every 4 weeks for a year.
You've ruined Leo. Hey, just real quick before you go on. So when someone, and it's probably going to be me, does a podcast series about your life, how many episodes do you think that's going to take?
Well, probably none. You know, I was at this... I was at this barbecue on Sunday afternoon at Trevor Bell's house, Trevor Bell, the inventor of the Ray Harris soundboard.
Thank you, Trevor.
And I was sitting next to a guy called James Cridland, who runs podnews.net, the number one podcasting industry newsletter in the world, he tells me. Nice. Everyone from Adam Curry, one of the creators of podcasting on down, listens to his podcast and subscribes to his newsletter about what's going on in the world of podcasting.
Right.
And James told me he's writing a book on the history of podcasting. Oh, good. And I'm mentioned in it amount of times.
As your lawyer,
Trevor said, you know, Cameron claims to have invented Skype recording, podcasting by Skype recording, which again we are doing today because Riverside, our platform, failed us. And I'm like, well, you know, long-form history podcasting, which, by the way, I think is, you know, one of the most innovative things that podcasting has done is giving us the ability to speak for a year on Leonardo da Vinci, for example. No one's ever done – like I've said this before, but the Napoleon show that I did with my alcoholic friend do or die U.S. patriot J. David Markham.
Right.
Nobody in the history of the world had talked about Napoleon for 100 hours, told the story of Napoleon over the course of 100 hours like we did from 2006 to 2008.
Wow.
And so that or any subject for that amount of time – historical subject. That was we were the first people, as far as I'm aware. I mean,
that's a chapter right there.
To do that. And now, you know, you've done it on World War II, and we've done a bunch of things, and Carlin's done it. Everyone's done it. Right. Duncan's done it. But we were the first, not the first history podcast. There was a guy that did the 12 Byzantine emperors before us. I didn't know about it at the time, but he did just before us.
Right.
And there's history with Professor, what's his name? He's been on our show a few times.
Oh my God. I am totally drawing a blank right now.
Professor Bob. History with Bob.
Professor Bob, yes.
Yeah, he'd been doing, but his was like 5-10 minute little snapshot stories. Yeah.
Yes.
The other thing I said to Cridlin is I remember going to conferences in 2005 in New York, tech conferences, where I was the podcasting guy, and people would ask me, what's the ideal length of a podcast? And I would say, well, what's the ideal length of a book? It's the length of the story that you're telling, right? Exactly. That's the ideal length of a podcast. But I was arguing back then that, you know, I think about an hour is a good length for a podcast. I said that's I think an hour is a good length for a conversation about something.
Up into it. Yeah.
And everyone was telling me I was fucking crazy, like 5 minutes. 5 minutes is the maximum length a podcast should be, everyone said at the time.
Oh.
It's that's people's attention spans, they said. 5 minutes.
Right.
That's all people can pay attention to. And I was like, yeah, we'll see. Maybe your attention span is 5 minutes, you dumb fuck. But I think everyone else – and I'm pretty convinced – I was talking to James about this. The standard length of a podcast today is an hour. Right. You listen to most podcasts, they go for an hour. That's just so, – you know, people have agreed with me that that's kind of the right amount of time for a podcast.
And everybody was wrong. And I want that in the book too. Now let's go for one innovator – you to another, Leonardo.
Now, before we get to that, speaking of low attention spans, Tommy G was complaining to me the other day that he can't remember. Every time he listens to an episode of one of our shows, this show, Cold War, he can't remember where we're up to. He said, could you just like summarize where you're up to at the beginning of every episode? So this is for Tommy G. Leonardo da Vinci was born in 1452. But to understand Leonardo da Vinci, we need to go right back to Constantine the Great. Right. So bear with me here.
Right. And to go to understand him, I think you have to go back to the dinosaurs.
Well, Julius Caesar, at least. We need to go back to the beginning of the Roman Empire.
Right. So anyway.
It didn't start with Augustus the First Emperor. It started with to talk about Julius Caesar, we need to go back to
Venus, the goddess Sulla. Venus. Oh, yeah,
We need to go back to at least Sulla and Marius. Right. And before then, we need to go back to the Gracchi. And before the Gracchi,
La Fundia, the public space that was being taken up by the rich people, it's all intertwined, as we're going to see.
Hey, Tommy, here's an idea. If you can't remember what we talked about in the last episode, go listen to the last episode again. It's there.
Or at least the 5 minutes. The last five minutes of it. Yeah.
It's on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Go listen to it.
Right there.
Look
down in your
hand. For everybody else.
No, the other
Tommy's
hand.
Off doing that.
Right.
For everyone else.
Yeah.
Listen, no one knows more about topology than you do, Ray. You're always talking about topology. People don't know this about you, but every time I've caught up with you for casual drinks, dinner, lunch.
What am I doing?
Sex in Vegas.
I'm topology.
Talking about topology.
Yeah.
Even during sex in Vegas, you were talking about topology. Topology, topology, topology.
Yes.
Explain topology to the listeners, Ray.
Well, topology is literally looking at shapes and objects and how they can transform while keeping some of the same properties. Why is that important? Because as we were talking about last time, and Tommy G would know this, about Leonardo, he's obsessed, like you were saying, with something that moves and it changes its shape, but it still has the same volume or area. And so this is something that Leonardo is going to become obsessed with, almost like everything else. He's going to go on banging on it for about 10 years. But as he's doing this research and as he's trying to figure out how to change shapes but keep the area, he does stumble upon something that's like the field of topology that he will help create in his endeavors.
According to my dictionary, in mathematics, topology from the Greek words for place, location, and study, is concerned with the properties of a geometric object that are preserved under continuous deformations, such as stretching, twisting, crumpling, and bending. That is, without closing holes, opening holes, tearing, gluing, or passing through itself.
So it changes. It changes shape, twist, turn, yeah, but it keeps the same. Yeah, go ahead.
Nobody knows more about continuous deformations than you, not to mention opening holes, closing holes, right, tearing, gluing, and passing through itself.
Yeah, but that last one, that's tricky. Don't let anybody tell you different. It really is. Passing through yourself. Anyway.
Leonardo was not only a pioneer of topology, he was also a pioneer of opening holes, closing holes, tearing holes, gluing holes back together. And
mostly 14-year-old holes. Go ahead. Sorry.
Not only was he the pioneer of the study of topology, Ray, but Leonardo da Vinci also invented the human centipede concept. Did you?
No.
Did you see that film 10 years ago?
I must have missed it. Was it on the Nature Channel? I don't know.
No, it was documentary.
okay.
Documentary. Dutch horror film from 2009, starring what's that guy's name? Horrifying actor. Basically about some crazy German doctor, always Germans, of course, who kidnaps a bunch of people and then sews them butt to mouth. So he feeds the person at the front and they eat and then they take a shit and that shit goes into the mouth of the person behind him. And then they have to swallow it because their mouth is sewed to the asshole, and then they have to, and then it comes out their ass, and right, it goes on to the next person. He was just trying to figure out.
Yeah,
well, we had to play the trailer. We don't want that. No. But just trying to figure out, like, how much nutrition. It was a scientific experiment.
Sure,
I mean, you've got to give the guy credit.
Yeah,
how much nutrition is wasted in feces, and so that's opening holes, closing holes, gluing holes back together, things passing through it. Anyway.
Wow.
Nothing to do with topology. So topology is the study of not doing any of that, just
right,
taking stuff and twisting it, crumpling it, bending it. And Leonardo was fascinated with that. It came from, as far as we know, his fascination with the study of water, how water, yes, be like water, my friend. He even invented that. Bruce Lee stole that. You put water into a cup, it becomes a cup. You put water into a ball, it becomes the ball.
Did Leo do the accent, or is that all you?
He did.
Okay.
No. Leo did the accent.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Bruce Lee,
right,
people don't know this, copied his entire accent.
He came up. Are you telling me that Leonardo invented the Asian accent? Fucking amazing. This guy deserves 2 years of podcasts about
Kung
him.
Fu. He, yeah, invented Kung Fu. Yeah. People don't know that
jiu-jitsu
about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Wang Chung. Right.
That's a band.
No, I know. He invented that too.
Yeah.
So water goes through a river, and obviously there are times when the river banks
are stretched. It becomes the river.
What?
Sorry,
the banks of a river obviously change a lot, in and out, but the volume of water stays the same. And he found that fascinating. And you're right. So he's going to, because he is a painter, he's going to have torsos turning and arms turning and heads and necks turning in paintings. And so this idea of fluid motion and yet keeping the mass the same is going to be something that fascinates him.
This is what it is, okay?
I got a clip of Leonardo talking about it.
Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Yeah, that's a clip of Leonardo.
Deep. That's deep. Can I, I've always wanted to put water in. I've always wanted to put water in a podcast award trophy. But that has fucking eluded me. I guess I'm not bitter about that at all. But we can talk about that later. But maybe you should talk to that guy at Pod News. Do they have, get you in? Just something.
No, let's just create our own trophy. We'll just give ourselves.
I'll give one podcast to you. You give one to me. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he actually told me there's the Australian Podcast Awards coming up again soon. I go, really? What's that? He goes, you know about that? I go, no.
Nothing.
He goes, I'm presenting. I'm going, I don't know anything about it.
I care
no
less.
One's invited me.
I care less now that I know you're presenting. No, go ahead.
The conservation of volume is what he was obsessed with. And he realized that it's true of water, but it's also true of human limbs and human torsos, animal torsos and limbs. If you twist them, you turn them, they maintain the same volume.
Right.
But you have to be able to depict that as an artist. You have to understand how that happens. How does the volume stay the same when you twist it and turn it? So he drew endless pictures. Obviously, you could do it with mathematics, but he didn't understand mathematics. 2 + 2 equals 8, he kept saying his entire life. Luca Pacioli was like, "What is? You're a fucking retard. Like, what?" He goes, "No, it's true. I studied it. I worked it out."
Smartest retard I have ever met.
So he was also fascinated, and this is in a similar train of thought. How can you turn a square into a circle with the exact same area? Or how a sphere could be turned into a cube with exactly the same volume?
Right. He's a party animal. Yeah.
Yeah, and we know he's not good at maths, as I said before, but he figured out how to draw. He's good at drawing. I don't know if you knew that about Leonardo, but he was okay. He's pretty handy with drawing.
Right? Right, with a pencil.
So,
or a pen.
He would use his knowledge of geometry to try and solve these problems rather than mathematics. And I think the lesson that we should all take away from this is, look, A, Leonardo was the dumb cunt. Let's all agree on that. B, nobody's good at everything, including Leonardo da Vinci.
Thank goodness.
So, you know, if there's something in your life, and I know with you, Ray, this is true of most people, if there's something in your life that you're not good at, you just compensate with what you are good at.
Yeah.
And in your case, Ray, you told me off air that is the act of self-pleasuring.
Right.
That's what you consider to be your real strength in life.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. How could I do that mathematically? I'm going to work on it. So what you're telling me is, Leo, is like, I don't do the math equations, but I can draw very well and hyper-accurately, considering the times. But it seems like trying to solve complex, infinitesimally small chunks of space or area, you're only going to be able to go so far with the drawing. But like you said, he's going to work with what he's got because he hasn't mastered the square roots and all that other stuff, the cubes or whatever. And so he's going to do the best he can, but he literally is compensating. He's bringing a knife to a gunfight. He's only going to be able to take it so far, but he is driven. He is obsessed, and he is going to spend at least 10 years on this.
The way he used to say it was, "I don't do the math so good."
And
people used to make fun of him for that, I'll be honest. People used to make fun of him for that.
He's talking.
I don't do the math so good. I don't do math good.
Bonjour.
And people are like, "That's okay, little Leo. That's okay. You'll find other things that you're good at. It's okay." He was 45 at the time. Saying this to him. In 1505, he even said he planned to write a book about topology and transformations. As he put it, namely of one body turning into another without diminishing or increasing the material. But, of course, like your sex change operation that you promised me in Vegas you were going to get, he never got around to finishing it.
Right. It started. Oh, it definitely started, but...
Yeah. You got the boobs.
Right.
You got the man boobs. You got the top section done. There's the bottom section that I've been waiting for 8 years.
I lost it on the craps table. So I had a plan. didn't pan out.
Well, the problem I explained to you at the time, you're not supposed to take a crap on the table. That's not what it means. I know. I thought it was take a crap. I'm not blaming you. I blame the American education system.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm the victim. If any, besides the table they got shit on, I'm the victim.
And you tried putting that forward in the case against Caesar's Palace, but...
Yeah, didn't take.
Yeah. No. You said, look, it's not even a palace, really. I mean...
True. And it smells like shit. I got to tell you.
It does now.
Well, yeah, that's... Yeah. Anyway, so if we can get off my anus now and move on to grander...
I don't know about you, Ray, but I like to have fun. Do you like to have fun, Ray?
I'm very nervous right now, but yes, I do like to have fun.
You know who else liked to have fun? Leonardo da Vinci liked to have fun, Ray. And his idea of a good time was figuring out how to square the angle of two equal curves.
Hold on. How to square the angle? Oh, no, that sounds like a party. That's yes.
I know.
That's a party.
Nothing he liked doing, apart from having sex with young boys, was figuring out how to square the angle of two curves. He spent a lot of time trying to solve a very famous problem. It was 2,000 years old by the time he was working on it.
Right.
Called the Loon of Hippocrates.
Oh, nice.
Tell us all about the Loon of Hippocrates, Ray.
Well, I know that it's a geometric shape that looks like the crescent of a quarter moon. I think it's when you take two circles or two half circles and put them together and you can get that crescent shape. Obviously, you're going to want to be able to measure the area of that crescent and compare them. And so I think that was the beginning of what Hippocrates was trying to figure out.
And who was this Hippocrates person, Ray?
Hippocrates of Kos lived roughly from 460 to 370 BCE.
Well, you're talking about the wrong Hippocrates.
Am I?
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me there's more than one Hippocrates? Because this one's number two. Are we talking about number one?
Number ones or number twos? Yeah, we're talking about number ones.
Oh!
So there's Hippocrates of Kos, of the Hippocratic Oath fame, the great physician.
Right.
Before him, 100 years before him, in the 5th century BCE, was the Greek mathematician Hippocrates of Chios.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And he worked out that if you create a loon, loon from luna, the Latin word for moon, like a crescent moon shape, as you described before, by putting two overlapping half circles, you can construct a right triangle inside the larger half circle.
Wow.
That has the exact same area as the loon, the crescent shape. That's people were cool. Trying to work out, well, how do you calculate the exact area inside of a curved shape? And he worked out this way of doing it. I watched a YouTube video. I watched a YouTube on this explaining how to do it.
Right.
Because quite honestly, when it comes to maths, I'm worse than Leonardo.
Right.
I'm like completely terrible. And it's one of those things that I feel really like self-loathing about.
Yes.
I know. I should be much better at maths because, you know, I'm reasonably intelligent. I should know maths. Unfortunately, when I was – and I did a math science thing at high school, right? I did full math science.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when in the maths classes, I was more interested in girls.
Right.
And I'd been up all night having sex with girls usually, a girl, and was sleeping during my maths classes in grade 11 and 12. Unfortunately, I didn't take a lot of it in, and I've always mean to get back into it. We should do a podcast on just advanced maths, right?
Absolutely. No visuals,
fantastic.
Just our voices.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be great.
Oh, Tommy G would love that.
Yeah.
But
we could sell
I watched this YouTube video, and it was fascinating.
Right.
Leonardo thought so too. He filled notebooks over decades with drawings of overlapping circles with triangles and rectangles inside of them that all had the same area as the crescent shapes. Now, you look at this today and you go, oh, they're pretty little pictures. And yes, they are pretty little pictures, but that's not why he was doing them.
No.
He was doing them like it was a game to figure out how many variations on this he could draw where the triangles and the rectangles inside the circles had the same area as the crescent shape created inside of the circle. It was like a game for him to figure out how many, like, he never dated his paintings, dated lots of young boys, not his paintings, but he dated the fuck out of these drawings. Like they were major milestones in his life. He would write down, dear diary, today, 4th of September, 1497, had sex with an 11-year-old boy. And
then, after that,
then
I
worked out
Yeah.
you loon, Hippocratic loon solution.
I figured out the area of his curved buttock, you know, something along those lines. but no, he did. He did this for years. He writes down dates and he does it over and over and over again. It's almost like, what do you call that when someone can't help compulsively to keep doing something over
OCD.
And over? Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. To me, there's like a sprinkle of that in there because he did so many, and we know that from his notebooks.
And he was doing them while he was having sex with young boys, which is the most amazing part of that, the story that doesn't get told. Because you're right, the loons did remind him of their firm, shapely, prepubescent buttocks.
Oh, good stuff.
Do you need a moment?
No. I'm done.
yeah, that was a moment. That's all you need. On one set of notebook pages, he drew 180 of these things side by side, just to give you an idea of how obsessed he was. And again, this isn't like, you make a mistake in your notebook with your pencil and you can just rub it out. No, this is done in silver point, has to be perfectly done every time. He did 180 of these things, each one completely different, all unique.
Yes.
And as usual, like your book on self-pleasuring.
it's a treatise, but go
solo,
ahead. It's fine.
Solo fellatio.
Volume one.
Or How I Learned to Bend My Spine in Half by Ray Harris. He decided to write a book on the topic called De Ludo Geometrico, on the game of geometry.
Right.
But like your book on solo masturbation, it never happened, sadly.
We're still
waiting for it.
Well, I don't want to say that I'm better than Leo. Even though the book did not finish, I finished several hundred times during the research. So all good here. I've no regrets.
And each way was completely different and unique. That's what I admire about your hidden talents and persistence.
And I'm sure you looked at pages of his overlapping circles of diagrams. I mean, they're beautiful. Mm. They're well done. There's the shaded areas of the ones that he's trying to figure out the proportions to. And it's just amazing. It's not like he's just slapdash. This is Leonardo. They are a thing of beauty, and they're very detailed. And I could see why he was thinking, okay, I don't know the maths, but maybe I can, through visual aids of drawing, figure this out and skip the more complex equations.
Yeah. And in all seriousness, this is what I get out of this section about his life is, he just used the skills that he had to solve these sorts of problems.
Exactly.
Problems that smart people have been working on for literally thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
He brought his own talents, his own skills, his own approach to these things, and they had been solved by people before him. He didn't invent this, but he would come at these problems with his own perspective, his own unique insights. And I think in all seriousness, that's a lesson for all of us. Like, find out what you're good at.
Go with it.
And figure out, this is the story of us making a living out of podcasting. Right.
Yes.
I mean, technically speaking, we shouldn't be doing this. Like, we have no right to be doing this.
Right. Why aren't we in jail yet?
As long as they put us in the same cell,
then we're all good.
It'll be fine.
Vegas all over.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
We'll just do a podcast in our cell. But among other things. But in all seriousness, we figured out at some point late in life what we were good at.
Right.
And by good, I mean barely passable. I mean,
exactly.
Well, we suck, but not
hard.
It's too hard.
Right.
No, you in Vegas. And we figured out how to make a living out of it. We're Leonardo-ing it. We're just like, okay.
The hell out of it.
We're not the smartest guys ever. We're not the best podcasters ever. But, we're going to figure it out. Only took us 20 years to figure it out.
And we don't need awards. I don't know why y'all keep bringing up awards. We've been doing this for a number of years. We still haven't won. We don't care about that. It's about the work and the results and the adulation that we get from you, mostly two people, Tommy G and what's his name that bowls all the time. I'm drawing a complete blank.
Scotty.
Yes. So those are the two. But anyway,
no, Tommy.
Tommy's the bowler.
Tommy's
Scotty
the bowler.
Plays Scotty. Metal guitar.
That's right. Yeah. Scotty and Tommy.
Yeah.
Scotty and Tommy.
Barry. Right.
Well, you know, we get, I you know, which award I get?
Oh, tell me.
Just doing this with you every week. That's my award.
Aww,
that's my prize.
I'm not going to cry.
You know?
I'm not going to cry. Okay. Thank you. And are you? And I.
Leonardo also. Leonardo. Yeah, too slow. Too slow. Leonardo also tried to solve other mathematical puzzles. There was another famous one described by Vitruvius and Euripides. Yeah. Euripides' pants, you pay for these pants. story goes,
right?
This is also in, I think, in Plato. The story goes that in the 5th century BCE, this is called the Delian problem. 5th century BCE.
Right.
The citizens of Delos, the people that founded the AI company in Westworld that builds all the robots,
that sounds right.
Consulted the Oracle of Delphi about how to end the plague.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the Oracle, being a bit of a cunt, told them that it would end when they could find a mathematical way to double the size of the altar of Apollo,
right.
Which was in the shape of a cube. And they were like, can't we just, like, bring you some fucking chickens?
Yeah.
What kind of, you know, cut their necks open? Like,
yeah.
Money? Like, what some kind virgins? Of fucking jiggery pokery is this? Something. We have to double the size. Why are gods such assholes? They ask themselves, the Delian people. Like, can't you make anything fucking easy?
Here's what I want to know. Tell me one time in history a problem has been solved with math. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit That's, right yeah. there. No
we
way.
Haven't even invented math yet, and you want us to fucking, you know, solve this? What?
If you want a bigger donation, now, just say so. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. A bigger donation we could do. That's easy.
Yeah.
Why?
Just rob the villages.
Don't be a cunt about it and right. give us this problem that we obviously can't solve. It's the 5th century BCE. Don't you understand that?
Yeah. I'm still picking shit out of my hair and pubes. Come on.
The problem is, you know, so what they were like, well, that's easy peasy Japanese. We can do this. They just doubled the length of the each side of the cube. But of course, if you do that, it increases the volume of the cube eightfold, not doubling it.
Right.
So they said, well, you just told us to double the size of it. You didn't say double the volume of it. Like, you know, but.
Dick.
Yeah.
Speaking Cantonese. Yeah.
But to solve. To solve the problem required multiplying the length of each side by the cube root of 2.
Sure.
Now, they hadn't invented roots, let alone cube roots back then. The Greeks didn't know what a cube root was. And the problem is that's an irrational number. Like, this is an irrational podcast. It shouldn't exist.
Right.
This was an irrational number. It's 1.25992104989, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And, you know, Apollo, they said, well, this is good enough, right?
Close.
It's close enough. And Apollo, being a complete cunt, was like, no. It's not close enough. It's not good enough. I didn't say, you know, do it, you know, kind of.
In the area of. No, fuck that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No. I'm a god.
That's
you,
right.
I have to have standards.
Right.
What's the point of being a god if I don't have standards?
That makes sense. Yeah. And I can't help it that you haven't figured out cube roots yet. That's not on me. Okay?
No.
No.
Listen, I'm not the god of mathematics. I'm the god of many things. I don't know that we have a god of mathematics yet. I mean, maybe we need to invent one. I don't know, but
we could really use one, I think.
According to Wikipedia,
right?
The Delians consulted Plato, who was able to interpret the oracle as the mathematical problem of doubling the volume of a given cube, thus explaining the oracle as the advice of Apollo for the citizens of Delos to occupy themselves with the study of geometry and mathematics in order to calm down their passions. They're like, we're dying from the fucking plague. And you want us to study mathematics? Really? Really?
How about we study farming and medicine? Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or not, you know, drinking water with shit in it. Like, you know...
Things
healthcare.
Like that. Right.
You know,
cook the damn food.
What do you
food.
Call that? Yeah.
Boil the water. Come to help
Stop
me here.
Licking each other's buttholes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Don't sell anything. Right.
At least boil the butthole before you lick it.
I do.
Here's what I think happened.
Right?
They went to see the Oracle.
Sure.
Plato, because we know Plato was obsessed with Platonic solids. He was obsessed with geometry.
Right.
Plato was hiding behind the statue of Apollo. Ooh. Smart. In the cave.
Yes.
And they were like, and he was like, he put on a voice.
Right.
He's like, he could do voices. Yes, I want you to figure out how to double the size of my altar.
Right.
And they were like, is that Plato?
No, this is not Plato.
You sound a lot like Plato.
Oh, no.
What?
I get told that all the time. Yes, yes, yes. He's very good voice that Plato has. Plato who, actually? I don't even know. Who are you talking about?
I'm a big fan of his, by the way. But anyway, that's why I copy his voice. Anyway.
But Leo, he doesn't know maths. He doesn't know, you know, Plato from Jado.
Right.
Jared Leto. He doesn't know. But
he doesn't know.
He does come up with a cunning plan.
Don't worry, Mr. B. I have a cunning plan to solve the problem. Yes, Mordek, let us not forget that you tried to solve the problem of your mother's low ceiling by cutting off her head.
That would have worked.
And you know why he did that?
Yeah, why? Because she's a whore.
Yeah, that's right.
Some women, I guess, are so evil that they deserve to be strangled to death and thrown down the stairs.
Wow. You know what I think?
You're a complete monster, and I hope hell is real, and I hope you're there. Damn, what was I taking that night? Damn, that was intense. That's a power play, baby. Kevin rules Ray number four, I think, not to mention her vagina. Anyway. Baby hands. Do you love me? Oh, yeah. No, for a second. Yeah. Let me try that again. So what was his cunning plan to get around not knowing maths?
Well, look, I don't understand this. I'm going to say this up front.
Right.
But it had something to do with drawing a straight plane, like a line through the diagonal of the cube.
Right.
And then squaring that, because it's the same as squaring the hypotenuse.
Oh.
So if you draw the hypotenuse, like the line from one corner of a square to the other corner of a square, mm-hmm. opposing corner of a square, the diagonal,
right.
and you square the hypotenuse, that doubles the volume of the square, apparently, and it works the same way with a cube. Look, don't email me if I got that wrong, because quite frankly, I don't fucking care, but that's my understanding of how it works.
Now, if you want to email and put that into English for us so maybe we can understand it. Yeah, but if you're just going to complain, fuck off right now.
Yeah.
Fuck off. It's a pre-fuck. Just fuck off right now. It's a preemptive. Anyway.
If there are any maths teachers listening to this or maths experts.
Who feel sorry for us. Right.
Yeah. Who want to do a podcast series with us on mathematics. like, if you're going to contribute something useful.
Yes. Yes.
By all means, email me.
Please.
But don't email me saying you don't understand shit about maths. I know. I know. I told you it's a source of much self-loathing.
We don't know. We don't know. But he thought he'd figured out, again, using visual solution versus equations and things like that.
So what's the point of all of this nonsense, Ray?
To me, this is one of those things that he goes on for at least 10 years about while he's going on about birds, why he's going on about water, why he's going on about painting. Even though we're breaking them down in different subjects, to me, this is like just picture a guy for a good 10, 15, maybe 20 years when he's in one place who literally finds time to try to explore and solve and write down and talk about to other people all of these things that if he's curious, if he's fascinated, if he has to get to the bottom of it, he has this incredible ability and willpower to focus on so many different things at one time for years in his life, and I can barely wipe myself and do podcasting. I mean, the guy was just phenomenal.
That's one point. Right. I think the other point is he liked games. Mm. You know, like, hey, Leonardo, don't bother finishing that painting or that sculpture that we commissioned you to do.
Get over here.
Fuck around with your little circles and triangles.
Play with these curves.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, go get your compass.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm sure that's –
yeah.
a good use of your time. He's basically the 15th century version of these adult guys who spend all their free time playing Call of Duty on PlayStation or Xbox. Like, really?
Exactly.
That's how you're going to spend your life, just getting good at games?
I think so. And I think Leo had a theory, and hear me out on this. He's like, wait a minute, what if I don't finish the painting? It's unfinished. Would that make it more valuable one day? I'm doing you a favor by walking off this job. You're welcome. So I don't know. We're going to try that with podcasting.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're spending a year talking about Leonardo. This show will never be finished. Another famous math puzzle that he liked to spend time on, related to the Delian problem, was squaring the circle. Gets us back to Vitruvius and the Vitruvian man and how they were trying to get him in the center of a circle and a square at the same time.
Right.
And it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
The challenge is to take a circle and, using only a compass and a ruler, construct a square that has the exact same area. This sort of problem, squaring the circle, was what led Hippocrates, again, of Chios, not of Cos,
right. Thank you.
To work on ways to turn a circular shape into a triangular shape with the same volume. And again, for more than a decade, Leonardo becomes obsessed with this. Now, this is another problem that's impossible. You cannot do it
right
with a compass and a ruler. Cannot be done.
Shan't.
But that didn't stop Leonardo. So he had notebooks filled with dated attempts to try and solve it. Some of them where he records that he worked all through the night and he goes, huzzah, I did it. And then the next day he goes, fuck, it didn't work. What was I thinking? I really got to stop drinking so much.
But then he goes back to it because he is obsessed. He wants to figure this out. Now, what if I came to you and I said, you're about to go down a journey that's going to take you 10 years and you will never figure this out? I mean, it would have broke his heart. It's a good thing he didn't know, because he's certainly going to try it, you know, on a very regular basis for over a decade.
Yeah. He tried. He sort of failed. But it's interesting to see how his mind works with this. Like in everything else that we've talked about, the fascinating thing, I think what keeps us fascinated about Leonardo 500 years later with his notebooks,
right,
is just how he approaches solving problems or understanding things. It's his ability to focus on details, to test, to try, to experiment, to just get right down into the nitty-gritty of the data, the details.
And enjoy it.
Enjoying the process of problem-solving and of thinking, well, I'm a reasonably smart guy. I can probably figure this out,
right?
It can't be that hard.
Yeah.
I'll crack it.
I got a ruler.
Spending
I got a compass.
A decade or longer working on these things in his spare time, trying to figure them out. Again, that's the other thing. Like just it's this real scientific mind, right? Like, I'm going to figure this out. He thinks these things are provable or solvable.
Yes.
They can be figured out. He's the guy to do it because he's the smartest motherfucker in Europe at the time. And I'm just going to, if not me, then who? That's what he would ask. Yep. WWLDVD, he used to ask himself. He's a bit of a dick like that. He used to refer to himself in the third person.
But he's not wrong.
Oh, Leonardo.
Yeah.
And for a while there,
yeah,
he actually changed his name to Jimmy, and he'd walk around saying,
Jimmy's getting angry.
Different folder.
Right.
Yeah. So he would try different ways. In one attempt, he'd slice a circle into thin triangular wedges and then tried to measure the size of each.
In another attempt,
he would unroll the circumference and try and figure out its length.
Right.
Then he would use his approach to loons. He would cut a circle into lots of rectangles that could be measured and then use the methods of Hippocrates of Chios to find areas that were comparable to the curved parts.
Right.
He would try dividing a circle into lots of different sectors and then subdividing those into triangles and semicircles. Then he would arrange these slices into a rectangle and then repeat the process with smaller and smaller slices. So you'd have an infinite number of really small triangles and then try and calculate the area of those.
Yeah. You can't do that with just paper and ink and a ruler. I mean, at some point it's going to get so small. I mean, you need equations. You need formulas. You can't have a physical representation of something that eventually gets that small. But like you were saying, he's doing the best he can with what he has.
You needed calculus to do that. And, of course, it would be hundreds of years later that Leibniz and Newton would develop calculus that would enable them to work these sorts of problems out. But Leonardo didn't let that stop him. He just had a crack, as we say. Had a crack.
Yeah, give it a go, mate.
Just have a crack.
Yeah.
Give it a go. Have a crack.
Yeah, but he's going to do this kind of stuff for the rest of his life, and we know that from his notebooks. He's literally going to play with the transformation of shapes for the rest of his life. For whatever reason, like you were saying, maybe it's a game trying to figure this out, or it's his latest obsession, or it's one of his many obsessions. This is something that he could not let go, and he doesn't. It's literally the rest of his life. You see doodles and whatnot in his books.
Across his notebooks, we find 169 formulas for squaring a circle.
Damn. Yeah.
In the very last notebook page that he is known to have written at the end of his life, there's a famous one ending with the phrase, "The soup is getting cold."
Sorry.
That was like CIA code.
Yes, you know. Thank you. Yes, yes.
The Swiss watch, mother, has been repaired.
Shoot the moon. Yes, yeah.
On that very last page that he wrote at the end of his life, it's filled with triangles and rectangles as he's trying to calculate the areas of them. So up until his dying day, he's fucking around with this shit, trying to work it out.
Yeah.
Didn't lead to any historic breakthroughs in mathematics, but they did help him with his ability to perceive and portray motion.
Right.
Like bird wings, like water, Batman. Baby Jesus, right. Batman, Saint Jerome hitting his chest with a rock. His understanding of volume and how forms change from one to the other really informed his art. If he had spent less time fucking around with it and more time doing art, we might have more to admire. But, you know, the 20 paintings that he half did, at least we have those.
Right. Now, I think the historian Kenneth Clark was a little hard on him when he said, "Leo's calculations are of no interest to mathematicians and even less interest to the art historian." But I think you're right. I think this was a part of him. It's a part of his learning process, and it benefits other areas of his life. And Leonardo, as brilliant as he is like the rest of us. I mean, he's a human being. He's like a tapestry. And if you pull on one thread that didn't produce something, you know, you begin to undo the entire structure. So you just have to accept him the way he is. And this was something that he studied. He didn't figure it out, but it did benefit or it did help him in other areas of his life. And he was probably fine with that. You get the sense that he's like, you know what? I'm just on a journey. I'm just discovering. I'm just walking the walk. And it is what it is. And I'll just keep doing it until I die. You almost get this zen like, I'm just going to keep doing this because I find it fascinating. That's what I got out of that.
Unfortunately, he
missed it by that much.
Oh, that's kind of funny. I'm looking at a couple of my $1,000 bills. And a little strange. Anyway.
All right. That's it for this week. We'll be back next time. So, Tommy, when you finish listening to the last episode, before you listen to the next episode, just listen to this episode again.
That's science.
So you'll know
right
where we're up to.
Yeah.